is gonna be cool.
The topics and opinions expressed on the Dudes and Beer podcast are intended for an audience of 18 and up and are solely those of the host and guest. They neither reflect the opinions or values of either the sponsors of Dudes and Beer or your mother. I mean, seriously. Have you ever heard these guys? They'll talk about anything.
Whoa, hey, you think they're gonna show it?
They'll probably just blur it out.
Whoa, check it out, Beavis.
Get ready to sit back, relax, and open your mind. Welcome to Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. I am Chris Jordan, your host for Dudes and Beer. I'd like to thank everybody who's been tuning in this year. It's been an amazing voyage. It's been amazing as we found our voice, as we've started to find our stride, as we have begun to truly get to the point of making our place and really doing what it is that we do. And I think this segment has a lot to do with that, quite honestly. I really do. I love this segment. I love it whenever I get to take the time out with you guys and just really kind of break into something, really kind of, you know, crack open an idea and a concept and see where we can go with it, you know, see where it takes us and really grow as people from it. And in this, the first Thinking Deep, not the first episode of Dudes and Beer of the new year, but most definitely the first episode of Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer of the new year, I want to talk about success. I want everybody to go into this new year with a new understanding and a new concept and a new paradigm of what success is. I think in our society we have entirely too much, invested in other people's lives, you know, which is kind of asinine and kind of stupid. We don't really tend to invest enough in ourselves. We're so invested in other people that we tend to stymie ourselves and tend to keep ourselves from being the absolute best that we can be. And as such, being the happiest person that we could possibly be, because it's really not incredibly hard. It's really not. It's a few baby steps to learn to walk. And then once you're walking, it's nothing to learn to stride. And hey, once you're striding, you eventually learn to strut. You just gotta like strutting. So whenever we come back from this message from our sponsor, we will talk about the concept of success and how to learn to strut right after this.
Hey, you don't even have a license, Lisa.
Crazy drunk driver.
Hey, everybody. Chris Jordan, host of the Dudes and Beer podcast here. Has this ever happened to you? Tired of looking in your rearview mirror after a couple of drinks with friends or worrying about no-refusal weekends and DUI stops? Are you planning a night on the town and want an easy, safe way to get around while still having fun? Well, Fare is the ride service for you. Simply download the easy-to-use and free Fare app from the Google Play Store or iTunes Marketplace and use promo code DUDES10 every time you ride with Fare to save 10% off your ride. Have a Fare driver you liked riding with? You can not only give them a review and tip, but you can add them to your preferred drivers list on your Fare app and request them every time you ride with Fare. You can schedule rides with Fare to pick you up immediately or as far as 30 minutes to 7 days in advance, eliminating the need for last-minute calls and allowing you to pre-schedule pickups in locations other than your home city. Perfect for those traveling for business or for fun. So don't forget to stop on by and download that free fare app and use the coupon code DUDES10 every time you ride with fare to get 10% off your ride. That's right. Don't forget, the coupon code is DUDES10. So be like dudes and beer, everybody. Party safe, use fare, and drink responsibly.
And I certainly hope that you guys take advantage of that. I hope that y'all take advice. I mean, if not fair, some rideshare program, especially at times like New Year's Eve, Christmas time, things like that, where it is no refusal. People's lives are ruined by it. And it's not that they're drunk. It's that they've had a couple beers and they're right on the line and the cop decides, hey, we'll give you a DUI and let you go on your way. But you got a DUI. We're not going to arrest you for the night. Merry Christmas. And it's horrifying. It's awful. It's a horrible system to be caught up in. I know entirely too many people that have gone out after work, had three beers at a happy hour, you know, about an hour and a half or so, and then was like, hey, I got to take off. And unfortunately, that does put you over the limit. Whether you're drunk or not is a different story, but it does technically put you over the limit. And it's horrible. So use fare, use any of the ride services, but use fare and use code DUDES10. Save 10% all day long, every day. So getting into the topic for tonight, success. What is success? How do we define success in our life? Our society, the American society, has a different concept of success in life than the rest of the world. All right. And it's just really that simple. You know, you can look at the average work week. You can look at the average work year, how many vacation days Americans are given, all that kind of stuff. We are a work-driven society. We are a work-driven society. And there is no doubt about that. Now, the problem with that is that we tend to link our success intimately with other people. And that comes from the work society. A lot of that comes from the education society as well, you know, working in group projects and doing that kind of stuff. And if the group fails, you fail. Whether you did your part for the group to the best of your ability or not, if the group fails, you fail. And it's that way in a lot of industry. It's that way in a lot of, you know, big business in America. And it sets up for this odd competition between people when technically there shouldn't be a competition between people. We should all be striving for the same goal, pulling with equal effort to get there. And I guess the greatest example I have of this in my life over the last many years is bands that I worked with. I was a live audio engineer for years and years for rock and roll bands, for venues, for events, all kinds of stuff. Now I do mainly corporate AV. You know, I travel the country, get to go to Vegas this weekend. I'll be there for 7 days and then go to Houston right after for 7 days. So we'll be doing some episodes on the road. We'll be doing a couple pre-records, but we're going to make sure the content is there for y'all. And I'm trying to remember where I was going there. We were talking about busy schedules and things like that. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard. Whenever you're in school, you're kind of taught this idea of success by grade, you know, by grading A through F. And that's your success. Now, that doesn't necessarily work for every student, doesn't necessarily motivate you. There were classes where, you know, hey, man, I really didn't care if I got an F, you know, whatever. I'm just here. It blew my mind, the classes that I had to take. You know, I understand, I guess, why I had to take them, but it was just like, really? Like, even when I got to college, it was like, really? I got to do this again. I got to pay you money for this now. And I just didn't grasp that system. I didn't get it. So I was not a success in college as a student. But I was a success in college, as growing as a human being and learning the social skills and the means by which to get by, plying my trade and talking with people and meeting people that were into what I was into, so to speak. So that's where I really started my career in AV was then. I mean, I did technical theater in high school, stuff like that. But built sets and helped do lighting and all that. Ran sound a couple times at small things, but nothing major. And it was the fact of I liked doing it. It was fun. I never really considered it an option for a career because it was never really told to me that it was an option for a career in anything that I did in school, even in theater. Was it given to me as an option for a career? Had somebody told me that, I probably could have been a success in life a whole lot faster. Now, I would have still gone and spent my time in the seminary and stuff, but whenever I got out, I would have known that I had a skill, and I had a skill set that not everybody had, and that there is a need for that. And that is what drives our economy. Supply, demand. You know, we have a need for grocery baggers. You know, the question is, are you willing to bag groceries? Are you willing to bag groceries for a living? That's the question. And hey, I knew a guy that whenever I did bag groceries, he worked like a champ. He worked 40 hours a week. He made over minimum wage because he'd worked there long enough that, you know, he made more money. He'd gotten raises and raises, but he'd been there for like 10, 12 years and literally like was such a good sacker, had like regular clients throughout the week that would come to buy their groceries for the week. And they knew Doug and they wanted Doug. So Doug would go over and help him. And hey, man, Doug made bank. I don't care what the hell you people say. Doug worked 6 days a week and typically pulled in about $1.20 in tips a day. So as a dude that bags groceries, whenever you're pulling in $1.20 a day, that ain't bad scratch at the end of the month in the 90s, you know, for just a job sacking groceries and then doing whatever the heck you want to do with the rest of the time. The question is, what's your idea of success? Doug was happy with that. Doug was more than happy with that. He got to do whatever he wanted. In his spare time, and he took vacations and stuff like that, but he was a full-time sacker, and that's what he did. And his minimum wage paid his bills, and he had a hell of a lot of money on the side that he made in tips. You know, whenever you're clocking $2,400 a month in tips, that's nothing to shake a stick at. You know, I mean, dang, do the quick math, and you're looking at a pretty good chunk of change every year as a salary to begin with. And that wasn't even what he was getting paid. That was just his tips. So Doug considered himself a success. And he was one of the first people that I remember seeing in my life and being like, wow, you know, look at that guy. He's doing just what he wants to do. And he's happy. Wow. And, you know, I moved on from jobs from Randall's. I was assistant youth minister for a while. I taught music and religion at a school. I worked in a video editing facility. You know, I worked on community television in Maine. I was a crossing guard. I was a delivery truck driver. I've done all kinds of stuff. The one thing that always made me happy was audio engineer. And I remember distinctly one night hanging out at the bar. I wasn't working. I was just hanging out. And this guy asked me, you know, what I did. And I was like, oh, well, I'm an audio engineer here, but, you know, I actually work at IDEX during the day as my day job. And that was the first time that it really clicked in my head that I did not identify with my job. I identified with my passion. And my passion is what I considered my career. You know? And between live recording, selling, and stuff like that, I actually did pretty decent just working there. But it was the fact of My regular job during the day was my means by which to pay my bills so that I could pursue my passion, up to the point that my passion became full-time. It eventually got to where, after I worked at an auto shop, I came home for a friend Eugene's wedding. Shout out to Eugene and Kate Cantu. Just saw them for New Year's. It was so nice to see those guys. Such a great couple. Love y'all. It was right after their wedding. I had taken a job at this auto shop, just as a shop monkey and pump monkey and shop hand. You know, all I did was pump gas for the executive clients and then, you know, sweep up the shop, take care of the shop, change oil and bust tires. And hey, it's a job, whatever. It paid my bills. That's what you're supposed to have. That's what you're supposed to do. So I did that. I had that. And I came back from the wedding, which I had told them that I had a ticket for whenever I got the job. And whenever I came back, we hadn't had gas in the pumps for like a month or so. It was a really, really lean winter. And whenever I came back, he let me go. And at that point, it was like sink or swim. Thank God I had had money stocked aside and I had paid for my rent before I left. So I had a month to figure something out. And literally went out. I was already doing some sound work at Bubba's Sulky Lounge. I started talking to other places. I contacted bands that I knew that I loved working with and was like, hey, you know, you looking for a sound guy? And before I knew it, I had Damaged Goods, which was an 80s band that I worked with. They did all these 80s 90s hair metal songs and stuff. They were super fantastic, amazingly talented guys. If you're ever in Maine, look for the band Damaged Goods. I guarantee you they're still around in some way, shape, or fashion. And yeah, you know, I basically became a full-time sound guy for them. They played a couple times a week typically. And Stream Reggae, of course. Shout out to Naya, all you guys. They were regular work as well. And between everything, I cobbled enough together between the club shows and selling live recordings at club shows, doing some private recordings, private live recordings for people like my buddy Tom Metz. What's up, buddy? Go check out his work, TomMetzMusic.com. Amazing stuff. And, you know, it took a while to cobble things together. And believe me, I lived on food stamps. Like I barely made it. I barely made it. But my point of pride was that for two winters, I know successful mainstream businesses that did not make it through a main winter because they couldn't afford to keep their lights on and pay their rent. I paid my rent and bills through two main winters. I may have been on food assistance, but gosh darn it, that's what I pay taxes for. So I availed myself of the opportunity. And yeah, that was the beginning of my business. That's how my business started, was out of utter desperation. I had no choice. It was either do that or go out and find another job in like 2 weeks. And I was like, you know, I'd be willing to bet you I could pay my half of rent and bills within 2 weeks if I got out there and hustled it. And that's what it took, was the hustle. And the hustle to me is what the success is. That's where I define my success. When my hustle brings something about, that's success to me. And I don't need, you know, sure, would I like to make $60,000 in a year just doing what I do? Absolutely. I'd love to. That'd be great. Someday I will. Until then, I consider myself a success. I get to wake up in the morning in my home, work from my home 90% of the time. The rest of the time, I am out playing with people's expensive toys and making sure that shows go well, which is what I love doing. I love production. I love doing live production. It is so much fun. So for me, I am in a little slice of heaven whenever I'm at work. I actually like what I do. That to me is a success. Success is defined on such small terms, and unfortunately, our society has built this concept around success. It has literally made people think that, you know, because they don't have the fast car, because they don't have a huge house, that they are not a success. That because they don't have the hottest girlfriend or wife, that they're not a success. You know, it's such a deep concept, and people just really don't grasp it. I, for a long time in life, and it was because of grade structures, things like that. I'm sorry, I was just the kind of student that if I wasn't interested in what you were teaching, I just didn't listen. I'm sorry. Find a way to educate me. Find a way to make what you're saying interesting. Find a way to actually engage a student instead of just giving me a piece of paper and say, do the work. That's what I actually thought at the time. And not that I was lazy. Whenever I found a topic I was into, I applied myself wholeheartedly. I applied myself incredibly once I found something I was into. But it was finding that something I was into, like science, didn't even have to study 90% of the time and made A's, pretty much consistent A's in science throughout high school, and college, because I loved science. I learned about science on my own outside of school, you know? For me, the feeling of failure came when I was told I was a failure because I didn't pay attention to something that I didn't like. That's how I translated it. That's how my brain translated it. And I don't know. I'm sure quite a few people's brains work that way. I know a lot of kids' brains work that way. There are medications for that as well. It's called ADD. You know, you basically get bored. Somebody's just not engaging your brain. It's just not happening on the right level, and you go off into your own world doing your own thing. It's crazy. But that can be stopped as well. That can be honed. The amazing thing about the ADD brain is that it also has the ability to hyper-focus. So if you do find that one thing that you're really good at, mine being electronics and things like that, and you nurture that, that person can be an incredible success in that field. They can do amazing things, incredible things, because they are into it, and they're going to do it passionately, and they're going to do it all the time. So for me, my depression early in life came from the fact that I was not defined as a success in school. I guess it was my own fault. I didn't do work. I didn't do the stuff, but I wasn't interested in the stuff, so I wasn't going to do it. And yeah, that made me feel like a failure. And it's so easy to be the failure. It's so entirely easy to be the victim as well. And that's what you have to be careful for, because you can't, so many times we say that we can't be a success because so-and-so did this. We can't be a success because we don't have time in our private life to do these things that, you know, blaming other people for our failures, blaming other people for what we should be taking account of for. And I was just partially doing it right there, talking about how teachers didn't engage me, so I didn't pay attention in class, you know? The fact is, I should have been paying attention in class, Goncernit. That's my job. I'm the student. I'm supposed to be listening. The measure of success comes from a personal level. It comes from your own level of satisfaction. It comes from your own level of completion. And we talked a few episodes ago about love and how it's dangerous to say that somebody completes you, because you should technically be a whole and complete person so you can be there to support that person and everything that they need. Because without them, if you're not whole and complete, what's going to happen? Like, life will eventually take place. You know, everybody goes the way of the dodo. You know what I mean? And, you know, what are you going to do then? Are you not going to be a complete person? That does a disservice to the memory of the person who loved you. You know? And that's a lot to put on somebody. So it's your job to complete yourself. It's your job to find your happiness, find your level of success and define it. I am so entirely fortunate to be married to my wife, Amy, who, and you know, this was just part of the interview process, folks. Really, you can make it part of the interview process while you're dating. It can be casual conversation to talk about what somebody believes a level of success is, you know, and you can open that conversation in many rights, from school to work to, you know, money, finances, what have you. And there are a lot of people who, because they came from meager backgrounds, don't want meager backgrounds, you know, so they define success as something big, huge, large, and, you know, very money-centered. There are some people who come from money-centered backgrounds that define their level of success much more on an emotional level and a level of completion because, you know, I came from money, man. That didn't make me happy. So it runs the gamut, and it's a very personal concept, success. So you really do have to set your boundaries. You really do have to find your own way to that. Like I've said before, all I can do is tell you what's worked for me in life. And what worked for me was to stop listening to other people, to stop listening to naysayers, to stop being my own naysayer, to stop being the person that didn't believe in myself. Literally, that was like, you can't do that. You can't. For years, I said that I would not be able to design electric circuits and build electronics because I didn't understand the math. I didn't know the math. And really, when it came down to it, like, sure, if I'm trying to do, like, you know, different calculations on microprocessors and things, you got to know a different level of math, folks. But whenever you're building a simple optical theremin, there's not a whole lot of math involved, and the math involved is really friggin' simple. It's basically addition and subtraction, maybe some multiplication. That's it. And it was like, once I found that out, once I did the research and found it out and wanted to get into it, I was like, I want to know this. I want to know how to repair my stuff. I want to know how to build stuff from the ground up. And I have numerous handmade devices in my studio now, from faders to all kinds of stuff that I build. They're mine. I didn't go to a store and buy them. I ordered parts and I designed it and I built it. And I love it. I love it. It's one of my passions. It became Austin Hot Mods, which is one of my side businesses, one of my many things that, you know, I do simply because it makes me happy. It makes me a little bit of money, not a whole lot. It doesn't make me crazy rich. You know, I'm not Robert Keeley. I'm not like selling 180 pedals a month, stuff like that. But I'm happy with what I'm doing, and my measure of success in what I've done and where I've come to, and my notoriety around town and people that know me. I like it. I like it. It's good stuff. And it's one of those things that whenever I started that, I had a 50-hour-a-week broadcast job and I was bored. Bored doing news 50 hours a week, a topic that constantly changes. You can't get anything better for an ADD person, folks, than a topic that constantly changes. But I was bored. And then whenever I came home, my wife and I were like passing ships in the night. I would come home at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, get to be with her until about 5, and then she would leave for a theater till about 7. And then I'd have to be at the station again at about 6 in the morning. So by the time she'd get home, I'd be asleep. And it was like, you know, in those few hours that I'm awake, I'd really like to do something other than just sit there and, you know, play a video game or watch a movie. I'd like to do something constructive. And I got into modifying guitar pedals, and I had friends that liked my mods and people that liked my mods and were ordering them and asked, you know, bringing me their pedals and asking me to mod them and like, oh, what will you charge me to do it? And I asked my wife if I could spend a few hundred bucks on a whole bunch of spare parts and a couple parts bins, and a website name. And I was like, I would like to do this. She was like, I think you're a crazy person because you've already got a full-time job. But if that makes you happy, go for it. Do it. Let's see what happens. That could be kind of cool. And now I build for another company here in town and stuff like that. Like, it's blossomed into this whole little side project that brings incremental income into my home. And it's great because it's one more thing that I get to do that I love. And it helps sponsor this podcast, for crying out loud. Like, the money from that goes into this. So, at one point, Austin Hot Mods was self-feeding every pedal mod, bought two more used pedals to be able to make a mod. And now that I've got like 60-something mods, I'm doing all right. It finances other things and keeps other things going. So Austin Hot Mods is a sponsor of this show. You may have heard the commercial numerous times, but I do it because I'm proud of it. I'm happy with it. I like my stuff. I like the things that I've built. These are things that I built. I made them. So my level of success for them is what I put into it. And once you realize that, it's like you really, really want to work on that. If it's something that you want, the only way you'll succeed is to put the energy into it. The only way that you're going to succeed, even to your own standard, is to put some push in. And you really need to consider that. You really need to learn to, all of us, even myself, even though I've done the things I've done, I need to learn as well that it's just, it's not as easy as just putting an idea out there. You have to push behind it. You have to push behind it. You have to keep going with it. You've got to keep momentum going. You've got to keep your spirits up because things will happen. You will get dashed. There will be bad moments. But that doesn't mean that there aren't bumps on the road to success. You know, even alcoholics fall off the wagon. That doesn't necessarily mean that their choice is not a success. That doesn't necessarily mean that they will not ultimately be a success. That discounts things. That gives failure more power than it has. Really, the only power that we should give failure is the power of change. That's the trick to failure with success, and the ratio is when you do fail, you have to understand that your failing in that is actually an okay thing, that it's all right. Because now you know one thing not to do. You know one thing to keep away from. You know one thing not to do that will keep you away from that success. And sometimes the only way to figure that out is trial and error. You know, the only way to figure out how not to be in business with a family member is to one day get in business with a family member and then things go awry. And then you learn, oh yeah, that's why you don't do business with a family. That's why you don't do business with family. And the only way you learn that is through hard knocks, you know. And there will be hard knocks. You can't give up. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep your perseverance up. And that to me is probably one of the hardest things. It's one of the craziest things. And we'll get into that. We'll get into perseverance in the next episode of Thinking Deeply, guys. We will make sure to give you those nuggets of information, how to make sure to keep your spirits up, things that you can do, regular exercises, stuff like that. Thanks so much for tuning in, not just to Dudes and Beer, but to Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. This is episode 6, and we're absolutely loving it, guys. Take care. Be good. Can't be good, be good at it. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this installment of Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. To
Tune in next time for more deep introspection, contemplative thought, and general musings on humanity and life, right here on Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. Like what you heard? Feel free to tune into the other content by Dudes and Beer on dudesandbeer.com. Our content is also available on the Spreaker Market, as well as SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, and your favorite podcast app. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.